Wait, so you're telling me Davante Adams doesn't want to keep playing football for Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell? I mean, who could have saw that coming?
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good heap. It's your boy Theo Dorsey back at it with you on a Wednesday, on a hump day. It's midweek. I'm feeling good. Feeling rejuvenated, well rested. I got my guy C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos. He's got his Nittany Lions, his Penn State Nittany Lions cap going, and of course always got the Hawaiian shirt rocking. Our Prize Picks YouTube stream, you can catch that at Theo Speaking, and you can get a good glimpse of the guy. C-Cat, are you big on your Big Ten Nittany Lions right now?
I'm feeling pretty big.
Yeah?
I'm feeling pretty confident in them, yeah.
Illinois almost got them.
Not really.
Illinois was right there.
They just covered, that's all.
They were right there the whole game, man. I know you were a little nervous, so I'll go ahead and save you from having to address any of that. We will have the Sunshine standings for college football. That is the top seven teams in order out of Florida in college football. We'll have that later on in the show. Plus, Tina joins us for happy hour, and we got Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. He's going to pull up in about 30 minutes. Would you call it an awkward exchange that I had at Heat Media Day?
It was an embarrassing exchange. Yeah, from the third party involved. I got a kind of a pity handshake involved. It was bad.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to share that moment with our guy Evan Cohen because it was centered around him as I was trying to make a connection to a very popular, literally one of the greatest, like he's a South Florida legend. The guy that we met and we had an awkward interaction with. So I'll have to run that by Evan Cohen, see what he thinks of it. But what is probably one of the most predictable storylines 4 weeks into the NFL season here is that the Davante Adams sweepstakes is officially underway. Davante Adams, Pro Bowl, future Hall of Fame wide receiver, who made his money and made his name in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Now, coming into a year, the Raiders are actually 2-2, right? So it's not like they're selling on their season, but Davante Adams, who apparently got injured in practice and was week to week, it is official. He requested a trade yesterday, and the Raiders have told other NFL teams that they are open to dealing Davante Adams. The asking price right now, C-Cat, they're saying a second-round pick and a little scratch on the side. Second-round pick, and do you feel like for 31-year-old, soon to be 32-year-old wide receiver Davante Adams, he's worth a second round pick and a little sub extra for your troubles?
If he's close to making you a Super Bowl contender, if he will put you over the edge, if you want to make him, I don't know, if you want Davante Adams to turn you into a playoff team, no, that's not worth it whatsoever. But okay. It's all about Lombardi.
It's if you're chasing a trophy, which I think for Davante Adams, if he has any say in this, he wants to go somewhere where winning a title isn't just a dream, but it is a realistic goal that team has. That's one of his priorities. The other priority he already made known is he wants to play for a quarterback he's familiar with. So if Davante Adams has swing in this at all with the Las Vegas Raiders, which I doubt he does, I feel like if you're the Raiders, you have to take the best deal. But if Davante Adams has his way, it's either the Jets or the Saints. That's what Diana Russini with The Athletic is reporting and other folks as well, that Davante Adams, and you can tell at this point, if you hear anything reported on the behalf of Davante Adams camp, I'm inclined to believe it because he's been very open with reporters, very open on podcasts. You think about his appearances on Up and Adams and whatnot. Like, he's not hiding anything. He's not coding anything. He wants out, and I do think his two desired destinations are the New Orleans Saints with Derek Carr, which I think is more of a, I want to go to the Jets, but I'll also say the Saints with Derek Carr just so I don't limit it to just one option type thing.
I guess so, right? It's the classic, I want to be with a quarterback that I'm unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
He's very familiar with Derek Carr, obviously very familiar with Aaron Rodgers, and when you get to that stage of your career, I think it's almost like a legacy thing.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go with a quarterback who I know is competent enough to not make me look bad.
He doesn't want to, at this point, this is likely his last team, wherever he goes next. He's 31, going to turn 32 in December. And as elite of a route runner as he is, as great of a, like, great ball skills, right? Like, he wins against man coverage. He finds spots in the zone. He's an all-around good receiver right now, still to this day. Once you turn 32, 33, you're fading as a wide receiver, especially when you see you see 17-year-old dudes for Bama.
Yeah.
And you know, true freshman over there at Ohio State, Jeremiah Smith coming up, there's no way. There's no way. There's not going to be a spot for Davante Adams 3 or 4 years down the line, especially at the cost that it would take to keep him on your roster. So this is the twilight of his career. He doesn't want to waste his time. He wants to be with a contender now. So I get that. I also get that he wouldn't want to take a chance and play under a quarterback that he doesn't already have chemistry with. So he wants the Saints or the Jets. The Raiders in this, though, C-Cat, their main priority should be get the best deal out of this that we can. It shouldn't be about sending off Davante Adams as if he's kind of some kind of legacy guy. He hasn't earned that in Las Vegas.
No. Vegas does not owe Davante Adams anything.
At all. So what we'll do here today is the obvious scenario that we all believe is going to happen is Davante Adams is going to be traded to the New York Jets. Mike Greenberg is going to win his bet with Pat McAfee, I guess, and Greeny won't have to, you know, what was it going to be like, dress in a muscle shirt and do a show?
Yes, a tank top.
Yeah, he won't have to do that. He'll be able to be fully suited, and I think that means McAfee has to wear a suit on the Pat McAfee show. That's the most likely scenario to happen. Two reasons why. The Jets, they have an asset right now who is an elite pass rusher who they can't strike a deal with right now in Hassan Reddick, who has been holding out all of camp. That is a asset that you can include with a mid-round pick, and you can easily get a deal done. And I don't think there's any other NFL team that would consider itself a contender that can provide a player of that level, like in a package, and still feel like a contender afterwards. So the Jets have that in their corner. They also have the fact that since Aaron Rodgers has gotten to New York, the dude has literally gotten anything and everything that he wanted. He runs the Jets organization.
Absolutely. Alan Lazard would not have a job if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers. And he's performing well, don't get me wrong, with the Jets right now. But that was a hand-picked selection from QB1.
Randall Cobb got the job over there. Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator of the Jets, has done nothing in his career outside of his tandem with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay that would be deserving of getting a shot at being the offensive coordinator for the Jets. And that's where he is right now. Aaron Rodgers has his way. Aaron Rodgers continues to get his way. And I wouldn't even ask this on the behalf of the Jets, because I don't think that the decision comes down to Joe Douglas or even the head coach Robert Saleh. Aaron Rodgers is going to be the one negotiating out this trade for the Jets, and he's more than happy to include Hassan Reddick in a third-round pick that he'll never even meet. That third-round future pick or whatever, Aaron Rodgers is not worried about that. The Jets are the most win-now team right now because of the age of their quarterback and the age of the weapons that they put around their quarterback, and that's the obvious play. But the team that should go out and get Davante Adams, and they should squeeze some assets to be able to provide that level of talent on their offense today, is the Dallas Cowboys. The same Dallas Cowboys that told us they were all in this offseason before doing absolutely jack squat. The same Dallas Cowboys who right now on offense, I can predict before they snap the ball exactly what they want to do, and it's going to be Dak Prescott throwing it to 88 every single time, play after play. Where's 88? Get him the ball. Funnel it to him. I get it. That's the only weapon on your team right now that has any level of threat to defensive coordinators, defensive backs, even fans on the opposing side. Nobody's afraid of Tolbert or Jake Ferguson or old-ass Ezekiel Elliott out of the backfield. If you're the Dallas Cowboys right now, how can you not trade a couple of picks? Maybe some, I don't even know. Throw in a player if you want to as well. It's not going to matter. There's no part of your team that should be off limits outside of that core four with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and, well, I guess core three between those three guys. That should be off limits. You got to go out and get Davante Adams a one-year rental. You don't have to pay him next year. Nothing is guaranteed on his contract after this season. If you're actually all in, Jerry Jones will go and do this, because the last veteran that you can get for the cheap at a position that would help your offense that you passed on was Derrick Henry, and he absolutely torched your defense when you had to face him. I don't know how, if the Dallas Cowboys are serious about being all in and winning this year, they don't go and make that win now move and go get Davante Adams.
It'd be a big splash move. That's a name that you're bringing to Dallas. And we know how Jerry likes to do business. Yes. He likes to grab the headlines. That's why he re-signed Dak Prescott to the, well, richest deal in NFL history on the morning of Week 1 NFL Sunday. Right? He likes the headlines. And trading for Davante Adams, I would say that would be the biggest offensive trade since Christian McCaffrey a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It just in terms of name, of course, CMC was still in the prime of his career when he got traded from Carolina to San Francisco. But this would make a splash.
It would. And you mean like offensive in-season trade,
yes,
too?
Yes, yes.
Because it's like you could think about the Tyreek Hill to the Dolphins and whatnot. But mid-season offensive trade, it would be the biggest splash since Christian McCaffrey. And it, again, the problem surrounding the Cowboys right now is not necessarily their passing attack, right? Like, they can't stop the run. They can't run the ball. They can't move it well on the ground themselves. But adding Davante Adams is the only... like, you're not going to improve the run game right now 4 weeks into the season. There's no way you bring in an extra defender or two off the scrap heap that's going to actually, in a credible way, you know, fill those holes for you. Sometimes it's about sharpening your strengths. Sharpen the swords in your tool bag, in your bag there for the Cowboys that are already good, and make yourself that much more of a threat. Also, if Davante Adams is so worried about familiarity and going to play with a quarterback he used to play for, how about going back to the head coach you had success with in Mike McCarthy? Like, there's enough familiarity with the Cowboys. There's also, for the actual team that's trading him in the Las Vegas Raiders, enough separation. They're not in the AFC, right? Like, as a Chiefs fan, you would think I would be angling that the Chiefs should go out and get him, but there's no way in hell that Antonio Pierce or anybody with the Raiders brass would allow him to go out the door into the divisional team in the Chiefs as they try to chase that three-peat, right? Like, I've seen people hinting at it. I don't even think that's a possibility. The Raiders don't even pick up the phone there.
No, it'd be tough to see that happen.
Yeah.
I said this earlier in the show, and now I'm questioning what I said. Do the Raiders... owe Davante Adams anything? Does Davante Adams owe anything to the Raiders in the situation?
No.
Because Adams went to Vegas to play with Derek Carr, and then Derek Carr did one season with Vegas with Adams and then skipped out of town.
Right.
So, like, I don't know. Does a contract mean anything anymore?
Contracts don't mean much, especially when you don't have any guarantees past this year, like Davante Adams' situation. But also, does loyalty mean anything in the National Football League, especially for a non-quarterback? Especially for a non-quarterback that's not a legacy guy to that franchise. I think the one person in that locker room or in that decision-making room for the Raiders that would have, before the season, I would have said he would fight to get Davante Adams into the best situation he could possibly do would have been Antonio Pierce. But their relationship is obviously severed.
Yeah.
Which is weird because, like, Davante Adams literally was angling for the Raiders to remove the interim tag for Antonio Pierce last year, make him the actual head coach. He and Max Crosby were like, we don't want to show up and play unless that guy's our head coach. Now, 4 weeks in, Davante Adams is on the Up and Adams podcast with Kay Adams, you know, publicly speaking about the fact that he has not heard from his head coach. We have stories coming out of Antonio Pierce literally liking an Instagram post from Sports Illustrated that says Davante Adams has likely played his last game as a Raider. And it doesn't feel like that is something you do, and then Adams' response to it is something that comes public if it's not a severed relationship, if something didn't go awry between those two guys. I don't think they owe him anything. I think they're going to deal him to the best bag, and I do think the Jets might actually have the best bag right now because of Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, it feels like that relationship is severed. Kind of shows you what type of coach Antonio Pierce is. It tells you, if you knew nothing about the Raiders, nothing about football in general, you could probably tell that Antonio Pierce was a former player and really not too far away from his retirement.
Yeah.
Kind of like, if you don't want to be with us, we don't want you at all.
Hell yeah.
Not a type of leader who says, wait, let's fix this. What's the problem? Let's address it. Give away a little bit of power in order to make a player feel better about the situation. Where you turn your back on us once, that's it. You're not one of us.
It does feel that way, and I can't blame Antonio Pierce for being that way because, hell, what got you the job, you got to stick to your guns and beat, right? Like, lean in on being Antonio Pierce. Lean in on being that kind of guy with that kind of mentality who's going to try to drag every little bit of that talentless roster. I mean, more so the quarterback position is the issue in Las Vegas. But if you're trying to win in that gritty, in that muck it up style, you kind of have to have a guy like Antonio Pierce leading it. I do think, though, that for Davante Adams, who is trying to leave, whatever team is going to do it, they need to get their ducks in a row, right? By the way, nobody ever, I mean, have you ever seen unaligned ducks?
Get your ducks in a row. But yeah. Do people align ducks?
You know, the ducks align themselves.
Nature, right, yes.
But I've never seen ducks walking not in a row.
So when you use the phrase, get your ducks in a row,
yeah.
That means that you are like the mama duck who needs to get the ducks behind them
yes.
in a row. Is that what that
yes,
means?
Yes, I guess so. You will be the lead duck, so you're the mama duck, and you're getting your ducks in a row behind you. So that's what you need to do. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, if you're the New York Jets, hell, if you're the Washington Commanders, get your ducks in a row. Get them right behind you. Lead them to the promised land, and that promised land starts with trading for 17 for the Las Vegas Raiders because he's obviously open, he's on the market, and he is angling to be at a place that can go and win a championship. The Commanders' side of this thing, I think that's very interesting because as Davante Adams might have claimed, yeah, I want to play for, you know, I want to go play for a quarterback that I have familiarity with. We saw money up in Adams' podcast, you know, just literally gushing over Jaden Daniels' tape. Literally telling Kay Adams in the middle of the season when he has actual quarterbacks he has to go back and report to, that man, yeah, we with the Raiders, we really wanted that dude. Go to the Commanders. That would be fun. Him and Terry McLaurin, like giving Jaden Daniels another big-time weapon as he develops as a rookie quarterback on that rookie-scale contract. You can afford to re-up with him for a few years because you don't have to pay Jaden Daniels for another four. I like that.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in the zeitgeist of Commander fever right now. I'm really selling. I bought all of the stock in the first quarter of their Monday Night Football win man. 2 weeks ago over the Bengals. First quarter of that game, I said, you know what? I'm sold. They're winning the division. I want every piece of stock of Washington Commanders football.
It's not bad to have right now.
And then you just throw in Davante Adams over top, a nice red zone target. Because that's where, really, remember the streak that he had with the Packers? It may have been 10 games in a row where he caught a touchdown from Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Having that to your offense, or maybe if he's not even contributing between the 20s,
yeah.
right? If you just get into the red zone, that's when you're looking for Davante Adams. To have a guy who has a nose for the end zone like that, it transforms an offense.
He's such a sweet route runner, man. Like, so elite. Such elite feet. I would love to see, I would love to see anything but him going to the Jets. That would be the boring move. It's the obvious move. It's likely going to happen. But where would you like to see Davante Adams go? Which NFL team should get their ducks in a row and make a blockbuster deal to bring in Davante Adams to improve their offense and improve their Super Bowl odds? Hit us up right here on Theoretically Speaking, 888-760-3776. That's the number to the Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776. Where would you like to see Davante Adams go? The Jets have inquired. Apparently, they're not the only team that inquired. There's multiple teams hovering around. The Cowboys have checked in on this. Which NFL team most needs Davante Adams? Which spot would you like to see 17 land in? Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experience, physicians, and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to call into Theoretically Speaking. You can also hop on the YouTube chat and hit us up at Theo Speaking on YouTube. Where would you like to see Davante Adams go now that he's available? Now that this guy, who, when I look at it as a Chiefs fan, I'm like, man, when is Patrick Mahomes going to get his Randy Moss? And what I mean by that is, remember how with the Patriots dynasty, as Tom Brady was winning left and right, it was always with these middling receivers, with these middling targets. You had Deion Branches of the world, the Julian Edelmans, the Wes Walkers. And then, out of nowhere, Randy Moss becomes available. Fourth-round pick gets him, and then there's that record-breaking offense. Patrick Mahomes deserves a Randy Moss. It's going to happen at some point. It doesn't feel like Davante Adams would be the fit, mainly because the Raiders are stingy and the Chiefs are in their division. 888-760-3776. Who would you like to see Devontae Adams go to? And we have somebody on the line here on Theoretically Speaking. Who we got here, C-Cat?
We're Asher in West Palm.
Asher's in West Palm. You're on Theoretically Speaking. Happy Wednesday to you, Asher. Where would you like to see Devontae Adams go?
Hey, what's going on? It's Asher Kelp. What's going on, man? How you been?
My dog, I've been solid, brother. You, everything suiting you well? Are you, you feeling good on this Wednesday?
Yeah, man, feeling good. Good to hear from you, man. You know, we got to get together soon, link up soon, man.
Let's do that. But first,
doing your thing, man.
Yeah, but first, let me find out about Devontae Adams. I mean, that's what we're talking about today, because the dude he stated he's not feeling good. He doesn't like it in Vegas right now. He wants to be elsewhere. Where would you think would benefit the most from getting Devontae Adams in their locker room, man?
For me, I would say it'd be Kansas City. You know, I think that put another weapon with Patrick Mahomes to definitely get them over the hump. I think they got Xavier Worthy, but with Rice going down, to have him over there, I mean, him and Patrick Mahomes can put up some big numbers. I think Las Vegas gonna be stingy, but if not Kansas City, I mean, why not Washington?
Yeah.
I think that would be another great pick for James Daniels. James Daniels playing at a high level. So I would love to see him in Washington or even Kansas City.
I like it. I like it. Appreciate the call, Asher. We'll link up soon there. That's kind of everybody's opinion right now. Why not Washington? And then also, whenever there's a veteran receiver on the market, the Kansas City Chiefs should be the premier destination. You want to go play for the greatest talent we've ever seen at quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. And the fact that they don't necessarily have talent at wide receiver right now. They still got Sky Moore out there running routes on third down, being targeted. Like, that's not beneficial to winning football games in 2024. Sky Moore, the door is closed on that. Devontae Adams in that spot. Now that Rashee Rice is out indefinitely. Mm-hmm. Now that Travis Kelce is absolutely washed. You're literally just an Xavier Worthy and what, Justin Watson? That offense right is it's getting thin at receiver. Hollywood Brown,
yeah,
likely out for the season.
Noah Gray
for Kansas City. Noah Gray's getting a lot of targets over the middle of the field. It is ugly.
You know, this whole Travis Kelce thing, how he is just ineffective right now, and he got more targets last week because of the Rashee Rice injury.
Yeah,
maybe we do what we all expect is going to happen, and when we get to the nitty gritty, when it's playoff time. That's when Travis Kelce will catch a big 3rd-and-25 conversion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
When it matters most. And he's going to be in the red zone targeted a bunch. But combine him with Devontae Adams. We talked about red zone targets. That is going to make nightmares for defensive coordinators.
If I'm Brett Veach, general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm going to keep calling until you block me. You're trying to make history. You're trying to be the first team ever to three-peat, and when you're trying to do something that you've never done before, you got to try some new things out. You got to throw balls to the wall. The two guys you tried to get out there that you thought would be your top targets this year, and Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown, they're likely out for the season. You got to go get Devontae Adams. We have someone else on the line here. Joe is in Jupiter. He is on Theoretically Speaking, joining us now. He's a Cowboys fan, so I got to assume, Joe, you're hoping that your boys go out and get Devontae Adams.
That is a top story. I was unaware of until about an hour ago. Didn't know this was coming. But
yeah.
First of all, the Chiefs don't need him. Patrick Mahomes can make anybody great. So you do not need him.
All right.
Thank you.
It's just cut and dry. He needs to go to Dallas. We got CeeDee Lamb, and that's it. Maybe Jake Ferguson. We don't have anybody else. We have some good players, but nobody that anybody else has ever heard of.
Joe!
He needs to make Dak special, and he could do that.
How?
We don't have DeMarcus
Stop
Lawrence.
Stop it, though. Hold on. Pump the brakes. Pump the brakes. Pump the brakes, Joe. How the hell can you tell me need him more than the Chiefs, and you just named CeeDee Lamb and Jake Ferguson, who would be the top targets on the Chiefs right now if they step foot in Arrowhead Stadium?
Well, you got
You're
Worthy.
Being greedy.
Isn't that his name?
Yeah, Worthy. Yeah, that's his name.
The fastest man in the NFL right now. You got True. Him. And a bunch of people that didn't matter. You got Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
We don't have Patrick Mahomes.
You have the highest paid quarterback in the history of the league. The highest paid player in the history of the league. Oh, dang.
And I do got a question for Joe, who's a Cowboys fan. I saw Dak Prescott do a a movie trailer for the movie Venom. Did you see this, Theo?
No.
He appeared in a trailer with Tom Hardy in the new Venom movie that's coming out. Like, full-fledged acting. Right. Like, they're in CGI on a green screen. He's acting, talking about, here we go. He did the line and
here
everything.
Here we go.
How does that make you feel
I'm
as
so
a Cowboys fan?
That here we go. That here we go is so old. I'm so sick of that. Here we go. That's over with. We're done with that.
Wow.
Here we go. When you get to the NFC Championship game. Otherwise, I don't want to hear that anymore, honestly. I mean, he's a great guy. Love everything about him. But stop with the here we go. That's old. It's a year and a half old. Stop with the here
cadence.
We go.
It's his cadence.
Say something else. I don't know.
You can't take Omaha away from Manning. You can't take here we go from Dak Prescott. Appreciate the call, Joe. Appreciate the call. I don't appreciate you telling me that my Chiefs don't need a guy like Devontae Adams. They definitely need him. They're the team that's in most need of wide receiver help right now because they literally had two of their top guys go out for likely the season.
But to the rest of the NFL, they look at the Chiefs and think, you know what? You guys are going to be there. Save some for the rest of us.
No, why?
Okay? the rest of the NFL will look at the Chiefs the same way the rest of the NBA looked at the Warriors when the Warriors went out and got DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
Because that was after KD.
Move. That was a greedy move.
That was like, you know what? DeMarcus Cousins, obviously he got injured and it never really actually panned out at all. But 29 other organizations would have loved to have DeMarcus Cousins on their roster. And then he goes to Golden State. Why? Yeah. Just to spite the rest of us. It sucked. And Devontae Adams putting on a red jersey for the Chiefs would annoy the daylights out of the rest of the league.
That would be beautiful.
No, it wouldn't.
Woo! Do it. Do it, Brett Veach. I'm rooting for it.
Maybe like Dwayne Bowe, honestly. Same type of receiver, wouldn't it be?
I like that. I like that a little bit, but no. He's a lot more, I mean, I guess at this age, but he's a lot more quicker. He's quicker. He's a better route runner. Dwayne Bowe is like a, you know, jump ball kind of guy.
More of a tight
big body guy. Yeah. But I like that. I like that little deep Chiefs cut reference you got there.
Fancy
CK.
Football, man. Always draft Dwayne Bowe.
Of course.
Dwayne Bowe's somewhere a dog. Over the Dwayne Bowe. That was a very popular fantasy football name back in the day.
It's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
I like it. Look at C-Cat here, being creative. Also creative, our guy Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike. We have to relive with you maybe the most awkward interaction I've had in my life, and it was with one of the most important people in South Florida sports history, and he's also Evan Cohen's favorite player of all time. So we do have to rehash that with him on the other side. Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike joins us as we relive that moment that I wish we weren't. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
My lovely Houston Astros first pitch against the Tigers. They're one loss away from being missing from the AL playoffs. That would be sad. A little wild card series there.
One way to put it, yeah.
Yeah, they're on the brink of elimination. They'll be missing. Speaking of missing, yeah. Yeah, you didn't know I was going for a little transition there. Speaking of missing, before C-Cat rudely interrupted me, Devontae Adams missing at Raiders practice today. We knew that was going to happen, though. We also knew that Evan Cohen would be joining us today from Unsportsmanlike, host of Unsportsmanlike alongside Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty. He pulls up on us here on a Wednesday, and Evan, I have to be honest with you. When I got a phone call from you yesterday, I assumed it was about the awkward interaction that I had at Heat Media Day. And I lit up when I saw your number. You know, I was like, oh, Evan knows. He found out. And I thought that something went right for me, but it wasn't about that. But I was glad to hear your voice, man. How you been?
I do know about that awkward interaction.
Oh.
I think we need to discuss that awkward interaction.
Uh-oh.
We did not do that on the phone yesterday. I think the Theoretically Speaking audience needs to understand that, at least through my eyes, we followed up on what we said we were going to do. Like, we said last week that was a weird week because normally you and I talk outside of on the air
in
some way, shape, or form, text, whatever. And I said, all right, we got to get better at this. I called you yesterday. I think we had a very good conversation. I must say, I got to give behind the scenes. Theo Dorsey, very big help on a lot of things in life.
Hey.
You know what? More than just a talking head out there for people, I was very appreciative of your time yesterday. I am aware of Heat Media Day. I would like to discuss that, but something else just happened. I have to tell you something that just happened.
Yeah.
What I'm about to tell you, you may already know, but even if you know it, you're going to be, it's cringeworthy.
Mm-hmm.
I just set the C-Cat off the air. I said, everything good? Are you happy with everything? Because C-Cat is in a really big role, producing two shows. Like, things are going well for him in his career right now. His first thing, are you happy? And you know what he responded to me? Yeah. I found a new Chinese restaurant, and they gave me a keychain with a menu on it.
Happened last night.
What? Why is that the first thing you thought of when he asked if you were happy, though?
I don't know. It was a big deal. Listen, this lady was the nicest woman I've ever met. Big smile on her face. She walked out behind the curtain that they sometimes have in Chinese food takeout places with my food ready to go. Hey, take it all you want. She just said all the soy sauce, all the forks, the chopsticks, didn't matter. I said, can I have three pairs of chopsticks? I kind of stock up on them. She gave me six. It was a pleasant experience. I loved it.
But I mean, think about Theo. Wait, yeah. were you at Heat Media Day?
Yes, I was.
Okay, so you were at the best NBA franchise Media Day, interviewing a million players, okay? Face to face. You work your butt off to get moments like that. You produce two shows between 2 p.m. and 6 p.m., Monday through Friday, on a radio station in a top 50 market in the country, in one of the most beautiful, wonderful places to live, in a studio named after, anyway, it was great people. Are you happy? Yes, I got a keychain from a Chinese restaurant with a menu on it, is your response. Theo, floor is yours. Please address this. He's your guy. You're the one who knocked on management's door. Get this guy more. He's my guy. How do you defend this?
This is C-Cat's, like, he's known for trying to level everybody out, trying to be, what do you call it? He says he walks into rooms and he humbles people. So this is him trying to stay super even kill. He's like a stoic dude, but he doesn't even know it.
It's brutal. I mean, this is now that said, how do they fit a menu on a keychain now that I think about it?
Little QR code, got a little bead on it. I think I have it. No, I left it at home.
You left your keys at home?
I didn't put it on my keys, I'll be honest. But yeah.
So you're not even that excited about it.
I was showing Deanna at home, and I got a little excited. Okay. Late night, working late last night. Yeah. So, you know, last night was a haze for me after I picked up my food.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to discuss with this Chinese restaurant, see if they want to, you know, partner with us here on Theoretically Speaking.
C-Cat, the endorsement.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you about S Chinese restaurant, whatever it's called. Not only do they have great food, they give you a keychain with a menu.
Mm-hmm.
I'm C-Cat for this Chinese restaurant.
It's good marketing.
Exactly.
It's good marketing. Also good marketing for us at Heat Media Day was the fact that we were like inches from Jimmy Butler's interview, his press scrum. And I kid you not, Evan, and anybody else out there, if you look up the Jimmy Butler Miami Heat Media Day interview, throughout the whole interview, all you hear in the background is me and C-Cat yapping about the Buffalo Bills' terrible Monday Night Football performance against the Ravens.
Oh, my God. That is awkward.
It's legit. I think Jimmy Butler might hate Theoretically Speaking in us, but the rest of everybody in the room got a good heaping tasting of it thanks to the weird time slot that we were in as opposed to the Heat Media Day stuff. But that wasn't even the part of the day that was awkward. C-Cat, do we have it ready to go?
Yes, we do.
So I noticed that our good friend Frank, who does a lot of stuff for FAU, was doing a one-on-one interview with the one and only Heat legend Udonis Haslem. And as I saw OG over there, I'm like, yo, I got to say what's up to him, but we're live on the radio and Theoretically Speaking. So I'm thinking like, okay, when UD is walking out of here, I got to say what's up. I got to chop it with him. But I couldn't find that crevice because when the interview ended, Udonis was leaving. We were mid-segment. And then out of nowhere, spontaneously, because I know this is your favorite player and a colleague of yours at ESPN out there in Bristol, does a lot of work with us, this happened. And I'm also not entirely sure. What up, UD? We'll say what's up, man. I had to say what's up to the OG, man. We know Evan Cohen, by the way.
Oh, Evan?
Yeah, that's the big homie.
I enjoy spending some time up there with him.
For sure. Already knowing. I just did that on live radio because that's how much I care about UD and respect the legends and the OG. How corny was that, Evan?
Yo, that is awesome. Wait a minute. The report I got is a lot different than what you just played. I am smiling ear to ear. That's one of the great moments of my life.
There we go. It was worth it.
That's not corny. Like, I should send you my paycheck.
Yes, you absolutely should.
Wait a minute. Let's dissect this.
Yeah.
First of all, I was told by sources close to me that all you did was scream, "Yo, Udonis, I know Evan Cohen," and he said nothing. That is not what happened. He acknowledged my existence. He very clearly knew exactly who I was, and he responded to you. I am now here on ESPN West Palm at 2:38 on Theoretically Speaking. I am now announcing my retirement from radio. I have done all I need to do. UD clearly knows me, respects me, and dapped you up because of me. That's it. I'm good. I'm done. I'm out.
It's kind of funny because me and C-Cat joked about, like, yo, we should try to get UD on and we should angle the Evan relationship to see if that matters. And I was just like, I'm going to do something that I'm just going to throw something out there. So it happened so quick and I threw it out there and I knew you would like it. I did think that it seemed very small time of me, and C-Cat made fun of me
It was. I mean,
and I called you the big homie.
For you, here's the thing. Can something be both these things? Can it be small time for you, but make me feel big time?
Yes, it can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened.
But I have forever ruined my potential. Like Udonis Haslam will never look at me and respect me as a man. And that hurts right. me as a heat coach.
Here's the thing. You and I have been many places together, stood in public together, private together, whatever. No one would look at the two of us and think I'm the cool one, except for Udonis Haslam.
Yes. Udonis Haslam, if he saw you and I together, he would dap you up and probably not acknowledge my existence.
That's right.
Going
that's
forward.
That's right. That's clear. Yeah.
That hurts.
Can you send C-Cat? Yeah. Send me that audio. That's going to be my new keychain. You can put it on a QR code and
nice.
That'll play.
QR code. Or you can get like that one kid did at Media Day. He had a iced out chain and the emblem, the pendant on it, was a video of his highlights. You can get that, just a looping video, because we actually have the video as well of it. So that was definitely a cool
send
moment.
Send me the video.
Yeah.
Send me the video. Can I ask you a question about Heat Media Day quickly, Theo?
Yeah.
Number one thing you learned by being there that day about this team this year, what would you say? Like, you spent the whole day there. You were in and around the team. What do I need to know? What do the fans need to know about this team this year that you learned on that day specifically?
The backcourt, man. Number one, the Heat are going to lean heavily on Terry Rozier having a full camp and having a full, hopefully healthy season. But also Tyler Hero added some weight. And he also has worked way more on playing off the ball this year. So if, like, Rozier and Hero can be like a top 10 backcourt in the NBA this year, I do think that the Heat have something cooking. And you mix that up with Bam adding a jumper. You saw that through the summer out there in Paris, adding the three-point shot a little bit more. I came into this thing very trepidatious about being optimistic about the Heat season. But you already know how it goes, Evan. If you step into a room and Eric Spoelstra says two words in your direction, you're immediately inspired. Like, you're immediately motivated. And I'm hoping that the Heat can upset somebody in the playoffs. Like, I have that kind of belief in them, man.
I love what you're saying. All of it makes sense on what you learned that day. I have my take right now on the Heat. I would take the over in the regular season and the under in the postseason. I have a weird feeling it's going to be an oppo year for the Heat. What we normally see, play-in leading to a somehow, how did they pull this off, playoff run? I actually think they overachieve in the regular season and maybe underachieve in the postseason. I hope I'm wrong because I'd rather it the other way, even though it brings me beyond aggravating nights watching all 82 games, as you know I do.
Rough.
But Jimmy's playing for a contract. Some of these guys, if they want to stay in Miami past this year, this is it. This is the last year where this group has a shot. Some people think it's 1 year too many. I happen to have a feeling that I think maybe, possibly, Theo, they could have a really good regular season.
I'm not against that either. And also, you didn't even mention, too, like, yeah, Terry Rozier being a part of it. And again, if they're healthy through the year, he's going to be a guy that also is angling for that one last NBA contract as well to show people he still got it. And Tyler Hero as well. Did you see the new cut, Evan? The buzz cut on Hero?
And you know what else? I'm going to fall into the trap. You know what else I saw?
Yeah.
Him playing dominoes with Jimmy.
Ooh.
It was nice.
Those two have had a very up and down kind of relationship. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks about it. They're not talking about it. But you could tell they're sometimes they're best friends. Sometimes they want their space. Those two kind of being on the same page. We forget what it was like when Jimmy and Tyler both showed up. Jimmy was talking to Tyler's younger brother that was, you know, in Wisconsin. Jimmy was all taking Tyler under his wing. And then there just seems to be a separation. By the way, this is not a rivalry or a beef. Just like, hey, they're not as cool as they used to be. I kind of like them being on the same page because those two need each other.
I think part of it has to do with how much more mature it feels like Tyler Hero is, too. Something happened this offseason between him. I asked him if he's been reading. He said, yeah, like between him maturing mentally, but then also getting a better picture of where he stands in the NBA. I do think there's going to be a different perspective on Tyler Hero by the end of this next season based on what he's able to do. So I'm excited about that as well. Evan, appreciate you pulling up on us, dog. And again, I'm glad I can provide you that moment with the OG, Udonis Haslam. Y'all's next interaction, I know he's got to bring it up. That's what I know. He's going to bring it up next time he sees you.
Well, do me a favor. Send me the video, but for your sake and the sake of your career, don't put it out publicly.
No, absolutely not. And also, blur my face out in that video, please, CK. Jeez. Appreciate you, Evan. See you next week, man.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That's our guy, Evan Cohen, from Unsportsmanlike. He joins us weekly on Wednesdays, and he is the number one Udonis Haslam fan in the nation. Show me a bigger UD fan than Evan Cohen, and I'll show you a liar, because that dude is all about 40. I literally asked him one time when he was talking about the prospects of his kids playing ball. I was like, yeah, so like, if your kid can grow up to play like any player in the league, who would it be? And he picked Udonis Haslam, which I get saying you want your kid to have the mentality of, garner the respect of, or even the career of Udonis Haslam, but to play like UD, I mean, he's the king of the UD hive.
Yeah, there's got to be one of them, right? I feel like every play, if Udonis Haslam's career began maybe 5 years ago and was going on right now, Evan Cohen would start a UD Muse Twitter account.
Yes,
where you
would
get Udonis Haslam updates from that Twitter account and that account only.
It would. He would, and he would never own up to it.
No.
You would have to be like peeking over his shoulder one time, seeing him switching between his Twitter accounts from the burner.
UD,
like, what the hell was that?
4 points, but a tough 6 rebounds last night. No, if the numbers don't tell the story of Udonis Haslam's impact on last night's regular season win.
We got to include screen assists in the box score. That's why you don't get enough UD love. That's Evan Cohen. Our guy, Kate Chumslin, is a numbers guy. He's a stats guy. He's an analytical guy. On the other side, he's going to bring in our favorite segment now. It's our second time doing it. It's literally C-Cat's favorite. It's Take It to the House Trivia. Can I get my song? Can I get a little song right quick before I tease it up? There it is. It's Take It to the House Trivia. So you know what time it is. The House West Palm Beach, that's the restaurant. We're giving out a $50 gift card right here on ESPN 106.3. All you have to do is call in, and you're going to pick a side. You pick myself or you pick C-Cat, and whoever wins in the trivia battle, depending on who you pick, you get a $50 gift card to the House West Palm Beach. So how about this? We'll call for the callers now. We'll get them on the line. We'll get them to pick their player on the other side. Do we know what Cade Chumslin is doing? Do we know the topic of trivia yet?
We're in the dark here.
Okay.
I don't know. You don't know. Okay. So it is all fair game today.
I will let you know on the other side, but I'll let you know the number now so you can earn yourself $50 to the House West Palm. 888-760-3776. Drop everything and call in now. 888-760-3776. Call in now to become a contestant in the House's Take It to the House Trivia. C-Cat versus Theo Dorsey. You pick your side. You pick who's going to win the trivia contest, and you could be having yourself a nice dinner or brunch or lunch at the House West Palm that sits right there in West Palm Beach off of where the park is, that beautiful 18-hole golf course. I promise you it's one of the best ambiances in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to call in for the House Trivia. C-Cat versus Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Come on, Stros. Them boys locked in. Tied in the second inning right there with the Tigers. Can't lose, baby. Back against the wall. Also can't lose is me right now for the House West Palm Trivia. We're about to do our Take It to the House Trivia. And myself, Theo Dorsey, I lost to C-Cat in the debut of this game. We have Cade Chumslin on here with us. Cade, Hopefully you had yourself a good week and you're ready for some, we have some really compelling questions here in the trivia contest.
We are rocking and rolling, and I expect a little more scoring.
Yes.
From you guys today.
More scoring. So he's made it. So it sounds like he's tooled it up to make it a little easier. That's what that sounds
Put game sliders on.
Yes.
Lower the difficulty a little bit. We're playing
You guys already have a bar to set, actually. I explained all of these questions to Mike Rizzo earlier, and he got 2 out of the 5 of initial questions correct.
Oh, he's dumb as hell. We got this.
I was about to say, we're going to kill it.
There you go.
We'll knock it out the park. So, if you don't know what it is, Take It to the House trivia is when Kay Chumslin presents myself and C-Cat some questions. The way we rock this, though, as we take it to the house, is we're going to have 2 contestants on the other side, our fans who have a chance to win a $50 gift card to the house, West Palm Beach, and they're going to jump on and they're going to pick who they want to represent them, because it's either going to be me or you taking somebody to the house this weekend, and the other one's going to disappoint.
Exactly. They picked me last time.
Yeah.
And Nas, he picked correctly. I won.
You took him to the house. So you're 1-0 taking somebody to the house. We'll see when we get our callers on here in a second who they're going to pick. But first, I got to tell you what the house is. I mean, tee up your taste buds right now. If you've heard of The Park, that beautiful, gorgeous golf course, 18 holes right alongside the Lit 9 par 3, well, the house is the restaurant right there on it that overlooks that 18-hole golf course. It has some of the most beautiful ambiance in all of the area, and they pair that with the coastal American dishes and just exquisite cuisine. My favorite thing right now going on with the house is they're now open on Wednesdays. They're now open Wednesday through Sunday. It used to be Thursday through Sunday. And to promote those Wednesdays, they're actually doing happy hour all day on Wednesday.
Mm.
And they do a real happy hour at the house. That's half off of the cocktails. And these are craft cocktails. These are not just a little rum and coke. They're going to go all in with you and make some of the best. I mean, I love getting drinks at the house. I'm actually going to be taking it to the house myself literally right after the show today. So if you want a chance to take it to the house, well, you have to wait till next week because we already have our contestants right now. And who do we have on line one? Dan is on line one. He's on from West Palm Beach. Dan, how are you doing on this Wednesday?
I'm doing real well. Thank you.
Dan, who, or before you actually answer this, Kay Chumslin, to give Dan some insight, what's our topic for trivia today?
Second day of the wild card round, we're talking MLB playoffs.
MLB playoffs. Major League Baseball playoffs is the topic for Take It to the House trivia. And Dan, who would you like to take you to the house this weekend?
I think C-Cat has got the momentum. I'll take him today.
All right.
Dan's going with C-Cat. C-Cat trying to take Dan to the house. Who do we have on line two, C-Cat?
On line two, we've got Matt from Jupiter.
Matt from Jupiter. Matt, you're on line two. Hey, Matt, how much confidence do you have in me to be able to take you to the house? You're stuck with me, brother.
Well, I think it's just a crapshoot, whatever happens here.
Yeah. He does not
I'm
sound.
I'm a Penn State guy. I might have gone C-Cat's way, but it's all good.
That's
all
right. 3 for 3 callers that have wanted to go for C-Cat, but Matt, you're stuck with me, and C-Cat, I'm going to stump you out here. This is going to be the biggest underdog upset ever, me beating you when it comes to Take It to the House trivia with baseball. And to remind everybody, that whistle means it's me to go.
Hike.
That hike means it's C-Cat. And Cade, lead us off with your first question.
Let's make it happen. We're going easiest to hardest. This first one, you guys should have this one instantly. This is the got it question. Speaking of your Astros, Theo, the Astros are at risk of being bounced out of the playoffs already today, which would knock off a pretty serious streak. How many consecutive years have the Astros made the championship series?
4.
Incorrect.
See, now I can sit in the football a little bit. Let's think about the ACL.
Oh, my God.
The ACLs. The ALCS.
I'm
going to
tear your ACL if you don't hurry up.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of an ALCS that did not have the Astros.
You do not get this much time.
It was when the Red Sox beat the Astros before the ALCS. I think the Astros have been in the American League Championship Series in 7 consecutive years.
That is correct.
Ah!
Oh, come on.
Getting stumped already. That was the easy one, too. All right, what's next?
This is our wait a second question. Might take a little bit longer. The AL Central could potentially have the Guardians, Tigers, and Royals all in the AL divisional round, barring what happens today.
Mm.
When was the last time we saw these 3 teams all in the AL divisional round together?
We're looking for a year here.
A specific year?
Potentially.
Hike!
Never happened before.
Never happened before.
You can't. That is okay.
Well, you heard question. It too. You heard it too.
I know, but when I heard it, I was like, "Are we doing this?" Okay, go. Next question.
I can't
question.
Lie.
Okay,
I couldn't just say yes and then tell you something that was completely different.
Understandable.
So you guys kind of played yourself on that one.
What's next?
All the eyes will be on Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani this postseason after what they did in the regular season.
As they should.
But which active MLB player actually has hit the most home runs in the postseason?
Hey! Giancarlo Stanton.
Incorrect.
Now I get to sit on the ball. Most home runs in the postseason. Active player. Huh.
Ooh. I'm going to let you guys know.
I got it.
If Theo gets this wrong, I'm going to give one quick hint and we'll try to go again. We'll reset it. But I want you. We want to get this one right.
We've never done that. All right. Hold on. Most active. Dang it. I don't know, man. Jose Altuve.
That is correct.
Yeah, let's go.
That was it.
Let's go.
That was. I thought
he stayed in the
quickly.
Postseason, baby.
He played
point.
So many games in the point. Postseason. It was bound to happen.
Damn
that was
right.
Dumb by me.
Damn right. It was dumb by you because you're a dumb person.
Jose Altuve with 27. The next man up only has 20, and that is Kyle Schwarber.
Wow.
Wow. Stanton probably has like
Kyle
nine.
Schwarber.
Man. Jeez Louise.
Man, Stanton. Who would think Stanton has the most home runs in the playoffs, dude?
Wow. That's
Do you
really
even
bad.
Watch baseball?
He never played in the playoffs with the Marlins. This is a whew,
that's crazy.
That's egg on my face.
What's next? I'm down 2-1. We got two questions left here. Take it to the house trivia. $50 gift card on the line for our callers. And I got you. I got you, Matt.
Personally, one of my favorite World Series was 2018 Red Sox over the LA Dodgers. In game 6, I believe it was, of that World Series, or Game 5, whatever the final game was, Red Sox pitcher Chris Sale put...
Manny Machado.
That is correct.
Yeah!
He struck him out, down on one knee.
Down on
I
one
watched
knee.
It. I hated it.
Okay.
One of the greatest plays ever, because Manny Machado that year was one of the most hated players in baseball.
He cleats everybody, man.
Yeah.
He plays dirty.
And to see him fall to the ground to end the World Series...
Well, what was the actual question?
That was it. Who did Chris Sale put on one knee?
Oh, he put on one knee. Okay, got you. Okay,
that was the key there.
That was a little unsportsmanlike by me.
What?
I kind of like taunted on my way to the end zone on that.
No. Hey, you win when you succeed. Flaunt a little bit. I like that.
Didn't even let him finish the question.
I know. That was pretty good.
I both guessed what the question was.
Yes.
And what the answer was.
Right. That's why I was hoping to see maybe the question was something more so like, what did the person do? And I was like, oh, no, he put him on a knee. All right, what's next? What's the last one?
That was the best part of it. That was the best part of it. All right, so we got C-Cat at 2, Theo at 1 right now.
I got 3, I think.
I think he has 3.
He's got 3. Okay, well, sorry, Matt.
Condolences.
But here we go. Name me the game when Joe Buck famously called, "We will see you tomorrow night."
I don't know why. It's the World Series, Game 6, Giants-Cardinals, and it was... 2011?
Theo?
World Series Game 7.
Oh, I said no. I said Giants Cardinals. I'm a dummy.
Okay, you're both incorrect. You never hiked in, and he hiked in and said the wrong one.
Yeah.
So
it was
you're very close.
Rangers Cardinals Game 6.
See, I got it right.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't get it.
Well, yeah, what was the year?
Yeah,
2011.
Oh, okay.
All
so
you
I
had
it,
was
right.
The Rangers incorrect, and you never hiked
oh.
in. And then you tried stealing it.
Yeah.
I was like, all you had to do was just say what he said.
Yeah.
And then you said Game 7.
So that was a little, you know, just a little practice at the end.
That was
there,
a little practice.
I already won.
Reps. Okay, so congratulations.
4-1, yeah.
3-1. You didn't get the last one.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Who's our guy? Who's our guy that won? Bring him on.
Our champion is Dan in West Palm. He thought correctly, and we bring him on here now because Dan in West Palm... took it to the house by picking C-Cat.
How you feeling about your decision,
God
Dan?
God bless you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He okay. did. God bless me with baseball knowledge. What can I say?
Congratulations, Dan. He'll be taking you to the house, $50 gift card. And I will say, make sure you get the lobster corn dogs. They're great. The spiny lobster corn dogs are great.
We'll try it. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Congratulations to you and C-Cat. And then... do we want to bring Matt in from Jupiter?
We should bring him in. He stayed on the line.
Yeah.
Usually when people lose, they kind of dip out immediately. But he's staying on the line to give you a piece of his mind. He should.
Matt, you were right for picking. You were right for wanting to pick C-Cat. I'm sorry that you had to choose second.
Well, again, it's just one of those things. I think anybody could have won this. But, you know, it's a new game.
There we go. So. You know what? Check in with us next week, Matt, and I got you. Hopefully the trivia is not baseball-centric for somebody who only watches baseball when it comes to the postseason. Thank you for tapping in, Matt. Thank you, and congratulations to our guy,
Dan,
who won it. And you're going to take it to the house. It's going to be a beautiful time. Hey, maybe I bump into you, Dan. Maybe we toast some cocktails because I take it to the house every single weekend. Kay Chumslin, thank you very much for delivering some awesome questions and making them answerable for us. And we have the happy hour on the other side as Tina pulls up. And we got some stuff to get to here. We got some really good stuff to get to here with Tina, including which NFL team should be poised to wave the white flag already with 4 weeks in. Kate, appreciate you, C-Cat. Stick around with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.